Okay. Okay, so I wanted to discuss one more halach in Kli Shel Malach B'Lisser, and I sort of mentioned it last week, and it's about washing pots, and I wanted to actually go through it again. So this is the Gemara that we saw in the past. This Gemara is the Gemara on Masechta Shabbos of Kuchachim Leveis. And the Gemara there is talking, I don't have to go through the whole Gemara, I know it's on the Daf Makoros, but the Gemara is there is talking about the development of a Kli Shel Malach B'Lisser. Okay? You know, what they asked originally and then what they asked later on. And the Gemara basically comes out to the conclusion, Machlok is Abaye and Rava. That's what's important. And Rava is how we paskin, that Rava says that a Dover Shel Malach or Leheter, you're allowed to move for whatever reason. And then even Mecham Letzel, and then a Dover Shel Malach Leisser, so you're allowed to move Letzorach Gufo Letzorach Makomo, but not Mecham Letzel. Okay. Abaye argues on Rava, and Abaye, so Abaye's question on Rava is Abaye argues on Rava, and what does Abaye say? Abaye says that he says that a davar shalach l'iser, you're allowed to move the tzorach kufo if you need to use it for another purpose, but you're not allowed to move it l'tzorach makomo. Fine. So if you look at the very bottom of source number one, in the very bottom of source number one, the Gemara says like this. It's two lines to the bottom of source number one. Eisav Abaye Meducha. Meducha is, I think, something which you basically you grind with, right? Imesh Bashum, if there's garlic in there, you're allowed to go in and move it on Shabbos. But really, a Meducha is Muksa. Kli Shel Malach B'Lisser. But if there's shum, if there's garlic, you're allowed to move it. Bimlav, Eimetal, you're allowed to move it. So the question is, I don't understand. Why can't you move it? So Gemara says the answer, well, yeah, you're allowed to move Meducha, but here we're talking about a fact where you're moving it Mechamel itself from the sun to the shade. Okay. So the Rashba in source number two, so what he basically says is that which we learn in Meducha, he discusses in source number two, a Meducha, you're allowed to move, there's a garlic, he says, see, he wants to suggest at first that you're also allowed to move it by putting a loaf of bread on it. So why doesn't he put a loaf of bread on it? We know that Loch is, there's a dead body lying somewhere and you need to move that body on Shabbos. A dead body is Muksa. So you can put a loaf of bread on a dead body and then move the dead body, I got, because you're really moving the loaf of bread, which is not Muksa. Okay? He says, he wants to suggest, so maybe if you put a loaf of bread, some bread inside this Meducha, you can still move it. So the Gemara says, no, why not? Because when do you say you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to move? When are you allowed to go ahead and use a kikar lechem to go and to move something which is muksa? That's where it's going by a mace. But if it's not a mace, we're not going to be mat there, such a kula, to move something, move muksa by putting a loaf of bread on it. So Rashi wants a mechadish, that's only if the thing that you want to move is not a kli. But if the thing you want to move is a kli, then you would be allowed to go ahead and to put a loaf of bread on it. Fine. He says, so then the Gemara says, the Gemara goes on, the Gemara says, Ein lecha muksa. He says, the Gemara says, no. In other words, forget about it. You can never muksa by putting something which is not muksa on top of it, right? He says, and what's the reason why by putting, having shum in there, that you're allowed to move it? And this is very important. He says, because why? Because when the garlic is in the meducha, at that point, it's a kli which is malach to leheter. In other words, in general, meducha is something which leheter uses to crush something up. He says, but when there's shum in there, at that point, it's malach to leheter because it's holding something. It's storing something. And therefore, for that reason, you would be allowed to go ahead and you'd be allowed to move it. However, if it's not storing something, then you would not be, then that would be called a, because then that would be a called the klisha malachta l'isser. In other words, what does that mean? What it means is that this meducha, it's a klisha malachta l'isser, but he says, and therefore you can't move mechamel itself. However, if there's shum in there, then you can move a mechamel itself. Okay, how come you can move a mechamel itself when there's shum in there? Because at that point, when there's shum, so then becomes a klisha malachta l'hetem. That's the idea. And based on this Rashba, he says, and that's yeah, just one second. Okay, hold on a second up here. Let me finish the Rashba. He says, Va'akshav mishamish heter malachta, hare masha osru matira, v'havi like yederim akaltelis in a tafshir. So what happens is, so now that you went ahead and you put shum in there, he says, so now it's a different malacha, and therefore it's not a klisha malacha l'isser, and therefore it's like a k'teira that you can move with tafshil. Okay? Before I call an ophir, what the Rashba is saying is you have something which is primarily used for something which is usher in Shabbos, and something which is mutter, he says, so in that situation, when it's being used something mutter, like storage, it's mutter, but if it's not being used something that for something with her at that moment, then it's still a klisha malachta l'isser. Yeah, okay, Ophir.
Is this only
question?
Shmashos, that it has to have.
But hold on a second, I can't hear you.
Shum in it?
Oh. What? Yeah.
Is this
hello?
Only during Ben Hashmashos. Yeah, can Chaim hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, yeah.
Is it only during Ben Hashmashos that it has to have shum or all of Shabbos? If you finish the shum in there, you use it Friday night, does that then become a.
I think it's klisha malachta l'isser. So I would assume so. I still klisha malachta l'isser. I would assume so. It's a good point. That's what I would assume. Because it's not because of buses. It's a klisha malachta l'isser at that point, right? So if you go and you look at the Prima Gadim really quotes this. It's source number 3. Prima Gadim says, "Uchadom reishi v'tukshe Rashba kufchav gimel." Meducha sheish brashum gedera metolas and atashil yayin shom mashma the kederos from yuchadim litzbashil kederos that are there to cook with ukemo klina choshes the dogim and this is klina choshes for fish and for tay kedoma in yesh from shom atashil atatel in atashil right mashke enkin reken osser because pots usually are made in order to go ahead. And to cook with. Okay, now it's true, we know. And when we finish the chicken soup, okay, on Friday night, we put it into the refrigerator, okay? Usually we don't pour it in another container. That's true. However, bottom line is when you buy a chicken soup container, what you're doing is you're definitely going ahead and you're buying it, you're buying it to cook with. Okay, and so that's what the Prima Gadim says. So you go ahead and look. I just want to finish this. Look at the Prima Gadim. So he goes on and he says in source number 4, Prima Gadim says actually also the same idea. Prima Gadim says, the Chutzi Rasha says, the same idea. He says that even though he says that sometimes you'll put fruit into a pot, but since it's mostly for bishul, unless the food's in there, it's a klisha malachta l'isser. And by the way, I think the nafkin would be is that, you know, they used to have these pans or pots that were used as serving pans and pots. I think if you remember, right? More like blue and white with flowers or whatever. So that I think would be okay on Shabbos to go ahead and to move mechamel itself, because there's really a twofold purpose. But in general, we know that a pot is really used to go ahead and to cook with. I think a lot of the reason why when you put stuff back in the refrigerator in a pot is because it's just easier because you can cook it again in that same pot. That's the idea. So therefore, probably a klisha malachta l'isser. And if you go and look at source number 4 in the Mishnah Brura, source number 4 Mishnah Brura says malachta l'isser. He says klomish miuchedus the davar shalshalas of the Shabbos filu in rak ro malachta l'isser who gavin chalzeh. And even if it's mostly l'isser, it's included in this. And the Shara Tzion says, this is what the Derech HaChaim says also. And the Bir Halacha says, the source number 7, we saw this beralacha last week. Yes, I want to do it after learning the Rashba. He says that the kli sherov malach lisser who gam him a klal shel malach lisser. He brings a raya from a gdeira. He says alnias daiti yanira the zedakim ikra who rach malach lisser. When do you say a kli sherov malach lisser or a kli when it has food in it is not a kli sherov malach lisser? It doesn't have food. It's a kli sherov malach lisser. If the ikar is that for like a sister, rach lepamim mishdamish bo leheter, but sometimes use it for heter. He's an inyan zayi shrayim megdera. So he says, and that's why there's a proof from megdera. And the Rashba says, which is kli shem lach lisser, because a pot is made for cooking. However, if the kli is derech lishdamish bo leshneim, only thing is you use it more for cooking. So the bottom line is. That then it would not be a kli shem malach lisser. So I mean, I could be wrong, and you're welcome to argue with me. I mean, it does make a difference. But in my mind, most pots are made for cooking. Sometimes they use it for storage. All right. So and in general, most of the posts can say you should not wash pots on Shabbos out of sight, out of mind. You know, and that's it. Even if it causes a person a certain tsar, because it's a kli shem malach lisser. Now, what a person could do, I think you probably could do this. Interesting, just thinking about this, is let's say you wanted to wash your pot, and after you finished washing it, you would go ahead and maybe you would use it for something, to hold food in, maybe then it would be okay. But otherwise, you shouldn't wash pots and Shabbos. Okay, so then, source number eight, the last part of the shir, is halach pshuta, which has ramifications. And that is, and people don't know this. This is, I mean, some people do, but the isser of muksa is an isser to move muksa. There's nothing wrong of touching muksa. That's why it would not be usser. Okay, I think, it would not be usser to touch a car on Shabbos. I don't recommend touching a car on Shabbos, but it wouldn't be usser to touch a car on Shabbos. It wouldn't be usser to touch a tree on Shabbos. And the truth is, if there's money, put your finger on the money, it wouldn't be usser either, as long as they don't move it. He says, if you look at source number eight, the Beis Yosef says, Kasa Mordechai Beresh Yom Tov, he says, B'Shem Reb Meir, that if there's a chepetz or something which is on money or another muksa in Shabbos, and you need that muksa, right? He says, you need that thing if it's on the money, you're allowed to take it. Because muksa, the Beis Yosef says, is only usher to move from place to place. But to touch it is mutter. And for that, he says, for example, he says on Shabbos, you're allowed to touch on Shabbos this thing before the Aron Kodesh, and there are candles on there. You're allowed to touch the menorah. If there's a menorah, you know you're not moving the menorah. You can touch the menorah. He says, as long as you don't move it. And that's the halacha kosher ben Yeruchim and Magid. He says, and that's why he says, you're not allowed to put a kli under a chicken to catch an egg. But you're allowed to put a kli over the egg, even though you might touch the egg when you put the kli there. And that's why, let's say, for example, if someone went ahead and started a fire on Shabbos, a non-Jew, and you want to put your hands on this furnace or on this stove, okay, that's really muksa, the lach is to heat yourself up. You're still allowed to do it because what you're basically doing is you're not moving it. And the whole issur of muksa is only if you go ahead and he says only to go ahead and move it. I said now. So then at the very end he says, and then we'll look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, and then we'll finish up with a certain question that comes up. And the Ran writes that if you can't move something, you can't move even part of it. For example, a dead body. You're not allowed to go ahead and move a dead body's arm on Shabbos. Okay, why? Because you can't move part of it. You can't move a branch if the branch is not going to go back to the traditional place. You can't move part of it. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says in source number 9, Kol muksa eno usser ela betilto. Muksa is only usser to move it, avol benegia, but to go ahead and to touch it. So the halacha is, ba'alma she'enu menadno, that would be mutter. Ulechein mutter ligab menor shvesik neshin erosh dofus alav. Or if there's a furnace and you want to heat up your hands, you can put your hands on this, whatever this kli is, this tanner, the stove. And let's say there's something mutter in the dvar muksa, you're allowed to go ahead and take something off the Dvar Muksa. He says, and then he goes on and says like this. Again, this is not in the Gat what we're talking about now, but some you're allowed to blow something Muksa off of you. It's not called Tiltal. What does that mean? In other words, if there's something Muksa, I'll talk about it in a second, so you're allowed to go ahead and move it Kalachriya. Okay, so let's say, for example, you can blow something away. But the example that comes up, came up to Sarah Shabbos. I don't know if you have this in your houses. The Baruch Hashem. I still don't have this in my house, a new house. But I guess it's ant season. Have you seen ants in your house? It's ant season, I guess. Someone called me up, right? So the question is, what do you do with ants on your counter on Shabbos? So first of all, I learned a new trick. My wife told me, Shaila, says that ants, you pour pepper around it, the ants go away. But that being said, you're allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to do something of a shinui to get rid of the ants also, as long as you don't kill it. Okay, of course, you can't kill it. So if you want to go ahead and you want to take a paper and knock the ants off, bugs usually are pretty resilient. They can handle that. Okay, so you're allowed to do that. Obviously, you can't kill them, but you're allowed to push them off of a shinui. So that's what Ramah says in the end. So then if you look at source number 10, the Mishnah Berura says about that touching muksa is okay. The Mishnah Berura says that al v'negia ba'alma, I am a simon shidyut sifah, Magram Sham, the heicha da anagia hi, the tzorach dover amuksa. Let's say the negia is because of the thing that's muksa. Go and let's say, for example, what you're doing is you're going ahead and you're covering Dover Amuksa, all right? He says, so then says the Shamra Tarach Lizar Shaligaba. So he quotes we haven't gotten there yet, but the Magen Avraham says that if the reason you're touching it is because it's Tarach and Bar Mitzvah, then for whatever reason you shouldn't touch it. But the Gra Paskins in like the Rava Magid, then the Negiah is always mutter if you're not going to go ahead and touch it. And I think lahalacha we paskin that as long as you're not going to go ahead and move it, then it's okay. You're allowed to touch muksa. But just leave off with the shayla. It actually came up this week. Interesting shayla, and it goes to a second level also. Okay, let's say for example. Okay, and I know the shayla is not as simple as it sounds, but on one level it is. So let's say for example, Shabbos comes in and you forgot that, you bought a special treat for Shabbos and it's sitting in the backseat of your car. Are you allowed to go ahead and open the car door in order to get the thing out? Now, I realize, obviously, it's not a shayla because usually in most cars, when you open the back door, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when you open the back door?
Light turns on.
Light just so there's no shayla and it's usher to do that, right? But let's say for whatever reason you know that, you're one of these guys that, you never should maybe go to the hospital on Shabbos and there's no light connected or whatever it is. Are you allowed to go ahead and you're allowed to go ahead and open the door. So believe it or not, the Shmira Shabbos Kilchasa Paskins, and it's mutter to open the door. Why is mutter to open the door? Because he says, what's a car? A car is a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser. Okay? However, L'Tzorach Kufo Makomo, it's mutter. What does it mean, L'Tzorach Kufo Makomo? It means, well, he says, why is a car a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser? Because not only do we use a car to dry with, we use a car to sit in. Some of us use cars to store things in. I can't tell you. I mean, I haven't used my car. This past Friday was the first time I drove anywhere, for more than 50 minutes. But, usually I keep stuff stored in the car. So he says, so therefore, if there's something in the car and I want to get something out, I'd be allowed to open the car door in order to go ahead and in order to get it out. Why? Because it's being used at that moment. It's not just as a car, but to store things, which means it's a kli. It's being used like tzarek davar mutter also. Therefore, it's mutter. And then I think he says to close it is mutter also. If there are things in the car that are not mukzvah that you still want to keep protect, so it's okay. So that's a fascinating idea in terms of that. We'll call it a kli shemalach kliser. We're allowed to open. Where does the shayla come up where it might be usher? I shouldn't say it might be usher. I think it's definitely usher. So a washing machine is also a kli shemalach to l'isser, because what do you do with a washing machine? You wash clothes. And as we know, it's usher to wash clothes on Shabbos. All right? So the question comes in, well, let's say, you know, let's say two questions come up. Let's say there's a big mess of clothes. There's clothes that stink for whatever reason, and therefore what you want to do is you want to put it into the washing machine because it has a terrible smell. Put it in the washing machine, shut the door so it won't cause a bad smell. I love to do that on Shabbos. What do you think? Any suggestions? So anyways, the answer there is that it's mutter. Why? Because you're using the washing machine as a davar mutter. Why? A problem, let's say you put a wash in Erev Shabbos, a half an hour before Shabbos, right? And the wash is going to end half an hour after Shkia, whatever, right? And you know that obviously you can't dry the clothes. And we know, by the way, the clothes are definitely muksa because they're so wet you won't wear it, all right? And you want to open the door of the washing machine in order to allow the clothes to breathe so the clothes won't stink. Are you allowed to open the door to the washing machine? So there it seems the answer is no, because then at that point the washing machine is being used as a klisha malach the lisser totally, and what you're doing is you're opening it for the case of something muksa, and therefore you're not allowed to go and open the door. However, so you're not allowed to go and open the door in that situation. However, if the door is open and it's bothering you, then you better close it. So it's fascinating. Here you have a washing machine. And sometimes it's usher to open the door, and sometimes it's mutter to open the door. And that's the case. You can't open the door because even though it's only opening part of the moving part of it, so someone which is muksa, not only is it usher to move the whole thing, it's also usher to move just part of it. All right, so that's that part of klisha malach l'isser. Mishnah tomorrow, I think we'll discuss the halachas of tefillin, Amir Tashem tomorrow.